Welcome to the Inspired with Mika Laurie podcast. Dr. Amanda Adkins, welcome to the show. I'm so grateful to have you join me today. How are you?
I'm great. It is an honor to be here talking with you. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk to you and connect with you because I think, we're going to talk about kind of plant-based diet or plant-based eating today. And I think it's such an important topic that there's a lot of confusion around. So my point is that I'm really excited to talk to you, just kind of pull out the good information out of you so our listeners can decide how to implement that in their lives. So thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we get into all of that, can you take a few minutes to kind of tell us your backstory, tell us who you are and how you got so passionate about plant-based eating?
Yes. So I actually decided to become a doctor when I was young, like 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
So that was always on my mind. But The nutrition part kicked in when I actually found out that I weighed 199 pounds as a 14-year-old. And I was just like, yeah, devastated. I was like, I'm not ever going to let a 2 be the first number in my weight. And so from that point on, I've been trying to do different things to help me lose weight and keep it off. And then at the age of 16, I became a vegetarian. But I tell people I was the junk food vegetarian, eating Big Macs and French fries with no meat, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And then as I got older and learned about my family history of like diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and seeing my family members die from those things, I was like, it has to be a better way. And I learned more about nutrition and how it actually causes some of the more common chronic diseases. Okay. And dove into it more, trying to see what I can find out to not only help myself, but actually change my family tree. So,
yeah. The amazing story. It's amazing that you were able to identify both what you wanted to do at such an early age. I still am trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. But I think also identifying, you know, the health issues that you felt, even if it was just weight at the time, kind of understanding the future and wanting to change that for yourself at such an early age. So that's kind of an incredible thing.
Yeah. And you know, you don't think about it at the time when you're that young. It's just like, oh, I don't want to be, you know, this overweight kid in the class and, you know, people laughing at them, stuff like that. Like that's on your mind initially. Yeah. But then as you grow older, you're like, okay, this is really something to this. You know, I really got to change my lifestyle if I want to be around for my family.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, the thing that kind of really sparked my interest in wanting to talk to you is being a doctor who also thinks about nutrition. And I think, you know, there are those, you know, unicorns that really think about nutrition and include it in their practice. But I feel like there are so few that, you know, and it's not their fault because they haven't had the education. It's not taught in med school. And so I think it's, I'm excited about that you're into it and that some doctors are starting to kind of see the light and I guess come to the quote unquote dark side of nutrition.
Yes, you're so right. Like we do not, I mean, if nutrition is a part of it, I don't even remember that in med school. You know, we're just so focused on how the body works and then the disease state and then what we can do to fix it as far as, you know, surgeries, procedures, medications. So yeah, to learn about nutrition is like eye-opening. Like, why would we be taught this in medical school? Like, this is number one, you know?
I know. It's always kind of mind-blowing when you actually think about it, but you know, hopefully, you know, I'm slowly starting to see it change. I see more med school starting to include it and add it in, you know, it's still not where it needs to be. I think the top med schools that include it, it's still only like 20 hours of training on it. It's still pretty minimal, but at least it's starting, the conversation is starting. And so I think that's exciting. So I want to get into kind of our topic, but I think it's great to start kind of at a base area foundation. And I want to talk about chronic diseases and just kind of give a explanation of what is a chronic disease and why do we need to be aware of them?
Right. So chronic diseases, I mentioned a few of them before, like heart disease, number one killer in the U.S. Usually before people thought about it for only men, but it's actually for women now. Cancers that we get, high blood pressure, kidney disease, diabetes. I mean, it's just so many things. And it's people are developing these chronic illnesses because we have actually come up with treatments for them to where they're actually able to live longer with them, but it's not a good quality of life, you know? Right. So, so that's why, like, most people, when they actually get diabetes, they're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe that's okay. You know, I'll take a pill or whatever. And then they don't change, but the pills actually keep them at bay for a little while. And then as they continue on their lifestyle, then it actually gets worse. That's when the complications come in and people end up, you know, losing their limbs or end up on dialysis, blindness, all sorts of things. So even though we have treatments with pills, that's not the end all of everything, because then if you end up blind or amputated or God forbid, have a stroke and, you know, not able to care for yourself, then no one wants to live that way. Right. And you feel like you're now a burden to your family members who now have to care for you. And it's just, it's not a good thing. And most people want to avoid that. And they forget that what they're doing to their body, this is the route that they're going. And we want to try to reverse that for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I think there's a big misconception around that too. Sometimes is that we assume, you know, if our parents had diabetes or heart conditions, that, you know, it's inevitable, we're just going to get it too. And it's just a matter of time. And I think, I think that's such a misconception, because there are so many things that we can do to help prevent that from occurring. So I think, you know, eating vegetables, like we're going to get into, is a big part of that. I think for me, from my perspective as kind of an environmental health person, the other thing, so nutrition is a big thing. And I really think, you know, toxin exposure, thinking about, different chemicals that are coming in our homes and how that affects us too, plays a big role in that. And so there are a lot of things that are in our control that we can help support our body and avoid those chronic diseases.
Exactly. So like you were saying, just because we have those genes doesn't mean we need to turn them on. So they can be in our body and never be expressed. And so I emphasize that to my patients also. It's like, just because your mom and dad have it doesn't mean you have to. We can actually intervene right here and stop it from going any further. So don't take that as you're sitting just because you start seeing it in your family. So absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah.
It's a big thing, and people need to really be aware of that so that they feel empowered to really take control of their health.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So let's talk about the role of nutrition and how it has an effect on chronic disease. What is the role nutrition plays?
So the top 10 causes of death, the 7 of them are linked to nutrition. Okay. So I mentioned those chronic illnesses some already. So if we think about it, if we go down the path of eating the Big Mac versus eating the fruits and vegetables, we can actually, you know, cut off that fork in the road. So we can decide this way or this way. And even when we do studies in medicine and they actually look for how certain medications may work, the first thing they actually put in there is that diet and exercise, and then they add on the pills. So we forget that first step. And that's like the most important. And again, certain foods that we eat will turn on those genes for like cancer and for diabetes that run in your family. So if you can actually know that that's in your family, then you can actually say, okay, if I eat this, then I'm actually feeding that negative gene versus if I eat this, I'm actually turning off that gene and I can go towards health, right? Health and wellness. So nutrition is definitely number one. And it took me a while, like after reading, you know, a few articles, I'm like, okay, well, when this medication was actually looked at, they actually thought about nutrition, but they just didn't emphasize that. They were just looking further at the pill. So when someone comes to my office, I always ask them, what are you eating and are you exercising? Like, that's your lifestyle. And some of them just kind of look at me like, are you really asking me what I eat? Because they're kind of like, they pause like, well, I don't know what I eat. So trying to bring that to the forefront of people's minds is actually important. So you're like, what do you actually put in your body? Everything you ingest is actually either pointing you towards health or pointing you away towards health.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm a functional nutrition counselor by trade. And the thing that they teach us above anything else, you know, you learn about all these testings and all these different supplements and all these different things, but they're like, just start at the basics, like literally just look at how people are eating, how people's digestive system is moving, how their energy levels are, how they're sleeping. It's literally like, look at the basics. And usually 80 to 90% of the, you know, health issues can be addressed with those simple basic things. It's very rare that there's, you know, some kind of specific issue that really needs other investigation. Like once you get the body back to where it's supposed to be, it really starts to kind of heal itself in a sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Food is our best medicine.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. So we're talking about plant-based diet. Can you kind of explain what is a plant-based diet? Kind of elaborate on that.
Yes. So what do you eat when you're on a plant-based diet? Because most time people think of, like, they call it rabbit food to me.
Right. Yeah.
Like carrots and lettuce. That's all you can eat. So no, it's actually fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, beans, nuts, seeds. So you just think about, that's just the category of foods. And you think about all those foods that's in each of those categories. How much food you can actually eat that's actually, like I said, pointing you towards health and wellness versus, you know, your meat and dairy and, you know, processed foods, things like that. So people always think they're going to be limited, but you have all those different foods you can try and the different combinations of foods that you can try.
Yeah.
Because I had someone say, you know, well, I think I'm going to be bored eating, you know, just fruits and vegetables and grains. I'm like, have you tried every single vegetable? Have you tried to combine them in different ways? You know, so, I mean, there's so many different recipes and cookbooks and things that's out there that people can try, that the different spices, the way your taste buds kind of light up when you actually put in all those herbs and spices. And it's just wonderful. And one other thing, I actually was watching a documentary and they were talking about, you know, people saying how they wouldn't have much to eat if they were on a plant-based diet. And they were like, well, if you think about it, to actually flavor your meat, you're using plants. So why wouldn't you just eat the plants instead of adding in the meat that you're using to flavor it? So, so there's a lot of things that you can eat plant-based nutrition. Again, we just go over the high level categories. But I mean, if you just Google vegetables, you'll see how many different ones come up, you know.
It really is incredible how many there actually are. And, you know, I know, other cultures around the world really have incorporated plant-based into their culture. And so it's become this, I don't want to say it's become, it has been really well developed in the sense of flavor palettes and spices to include and different recipes, you know, and these things have been passed down for eons, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. And so, you know, if people can eat this way for thousands of years, there are a lot of food options out there. So.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not just eating beans and rice every day. That's not it.
Yeah. So I want to, you kind of touched on this earlier when you were talking about how you got started in the kind of plant-based nutrition focus, but I want to kind of address the idea of, I see a lot of people that are quote unquote vegans, but then they live off of Oreos and soda and, you know, and so I want to make sure that we're clear about, you know, maybe there's a place for a couple of those things here and there, but the reality is what you really want to do is eat the quality food. How do you see people kind of addressing that?
Yeah. So like you said, when I first started, that was me, the junk food vegetarian vegan, where I was like, if I just take the meat off and the dairy off, then I'll be fine. You know?
Yeah, that's
it. But yeah, to actually get those benefits for your health, you need those nutrients that are in the whole foods. So it's not going to be the Oreos that are just sugar and fat. You want the actual, your lentils and, you know, quinoa that has so many different nutrients in there, different vitamins that your body actually needs to improve its health and like your immune system, especially during this point in time. You want to actually eat the foods that are going to enhance your body. So yes, like you said, you can eat those things at times on special occasions. And I tell people Wednesday is not a special occasion.
Right. Yeah.
So, so you can like have those in there, and you have to be careful because there's a lot of marketing behind, you know, plant-based and vegan because they see people are moving towards that. But yeah, again, it may be slightly healthier than the, you know, animal-based version, but you're still trying to get all the way over here, you know, with the actual whole foods, eating your fruits, your vegetables, put them, you know, you can make that into your own smoothie or make it your own ice cream with the actual whole foods and not use those processed foods. So I always emphasize that the whole foods, look for stuff that doesn't need a label, doesn't have, you know, 100 ingredients on there, you know, ingredients that you can read and you actually know what it is. That's what you want to look towards.
Yeah, for sure. So that actually leads to a question that I had specifically for you is when I really started to cut down on my meat consumption, I still eat some meat, but I'm very particular. I almost always just eat pasture-raised or grass-fed, grass-finished. And it's usually, when I do eat it, it's usually a side dish opposed to the main dish on the plant or the plate. But when I was kind of changing that and learning about kind of plant-based and cutting out meat and all those kind of things, there's a whole environmental side that we could have a whole separate conversation on. But I saw all these alternatives, like Morningstar is a big one that has kind of plant or meat alternatives. And then you see like Beyond seems like it's blown up and kind of gone everywhere. And I know they're two very different things, but one of the concerns I had, and I don't mean to call out Morningstar, but one of the concerns I had with Morningstar was it had a lot of ingredients in it. Some I could pronounce, some I couldn't, some were a little bit concerning to me. I want your opinion on these meat alternatives. How do you feel about them?
Yeah. So I tell people it's like quitting smoking. It's if you use something to help you quit, so you use a meat alternative to help you quit eating meat, that's not where you want to stay, right? So it's a healthier, somewhat healthier option. But again, you're still not at that goal line. So I use that for people that were big meat eaters as a transition point. So it's hard to go from eating hamburgers every day to eating lentils and beans, right?
Yeah.
So we can come in the middle. And that's where I think the plant-based alternative meats play a big role. So for those people that thought, I never can give this up, they're like, okay, well, let me try this. And then once they're there and they get comfortable, then that's when I push them a little bit more. I'm saying, okay, so now that you're there, you're doing plant-based alternatives, let's actually go to the whole foods and eat those now, okay? Yeah. So again, it's just a transition point. You don't want to stay there. It's a healthier option than probably the animal-based products, but it's still not the healthiest to eat.
Yeah. So it's like my meat nicotine patch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I love that. So my other question for you around this is when we're transitioning to a hopefully larger plant-based, I'm hoping that people are eating some fruits and vegetables already, though I know that's usually pretty minimal in the standard American diet.
Right.
What are your thoughts about conventional versus organic plants when making this transition?
So there's certain organic foods that you want to actually try to get if you can't do all organic. And the environmental working group usually lists out their dirty dozen. Yeah. And I usually tell people to actually start there if they're like, okay, buying organic is too much. Because we still have to remember the other things that they do to our food that we don't need ingested in our bodies. Like you talked about earlier, the chemicals, the different things like that, that are not going to be good for our body. So if you can start with the Dirty Dozen on the environmental work group with organic, that's the first step. And then try to buy as much organic as possible. Now, I can say initially I was one of those people who's like, organic is way too much. I'm not going to buy that. But then again, I go back to my why I'm actually changing my diet, and it's to prevent chronic illnesses. So if I know that they're spraying stuff on my food, then I want to try to do what I can to decrease that as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So we want to think about our budget, but we also have to remember that we get one body and we can always make more money, but we can't get a new body. There's no body transfer.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. That, I think that's such a key thing to think about. You know, we hear a lot, like, if you don't pay now, you'll pay later. Meaning that mm-hmm. if you aren't going to pay the cost for slightly better or safer food now, you're likely going to pay the cost in quality of life and healthcare right. costs, insurance, that kind of stuff. So I think that's something to kind of keep in perspective, but I love that we can get more money. We can't get a different body. I mean, that's
exactly
kind of black and white in that sense. So
exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So I know from me, one of the things that when people ask me, well, why organic? Why is it really worth it? One of the things that I always try to share with people is that some of these chemicals, like we can use weight loss, for example, in some people, they can be what's called obesogens, and they can mm-hmm, mm-hmm. prevent people from actually losing weight. The way they right. are processed through the body and the effects that they have on our cells can make people weight loss resistant. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, and the role those different chemicals play is very different in each person. But like, you know, for the weight loss example, this is a big deal. And so people right. may be eating really healthy and doing the exercise and all these things, and they're still not losing weight. One mm-hmm. of the things you can look at is your toxin exposure.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, that's good. I never thought about it that way, but that's right. When we have those toxins, our body just stores them, and then that's where the fat goes. You try to block it off. So yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So how can someone kind of start to change to plant-based diet? And what are some of the challenges that you've seen your clients face in the beginning and maybe overcome?
Yes. So challenges that people may face is, one, they think they can't do it, right? Because they've been a meat eater all their lives. Their family were meat eaters. And so then I usually tell them the story about me and how growing up, I was a daughter of a meat delivery guy. So all we've had in our house was meat, and we had the processed meats like bologna, hot dogs. You couldn't come to a birthday party without getting hot dogs.
Yeah.
And so I said, I definitely understand. But again, we have to dig down deeper and say, why are we wanting to make these changes? If you want to actually, you know, be around to see your grandchildren grow up or walk your daughter down the aisle when she gets married, like, this is the deeper things that we have to think about, because we're just thinking about putting something in our mouth that tastes good and that's it. But we want to think of the long-term consequences for people. And so usually I tell them the first step is, because you alluded to this earlier, is that adding in, you know, fruits and vegetables at every single meal, because we do not do that. Most of Americans do not eat fruits and vegetables. So if you start there and then start to make that more of the center of your plate, like you say, when you eat meat, it's kind of the side dish. And that's what I tell people to do, like, focus on getting in more fruits and vegetables, because that's where the nutrients are, right? So if we do that, and people start to feel better. And once you actually get them that buy-in from them, and they start to feel better because they're eating them, then it's easier for them to actually continue on the journey to going more towards plant-based. Totally. Yeah,
absolutely. Do you find that people struggle with like meat cravings or like meat withdrawal kind of when they're so accustomed to eating it all the time?
And yes, and that's when I pull in the plant-based alternative meats.
Okay.
To say, you can try, you can eat that. That's my husband. I was like, okay, yes, you know, eat that Beyond Burger or the Beyond Meat. He's a big one on the Beyond Meat. And you can do that to, you know, satisfy that craving. But then again, we still got to add in those fruits and vegetables so you can get in those nutrients that you need. But yeah, that's a great transition point, and you can have that if you need it.
Absolutely. So Dr. Amanda, I have a couple quick fire questions for you, but before we wrap up, I want to commend you for the work you're doing, because I think it's so powerful. And like I said earlier, you know, there's so few doctors looking at nutrition specifically. And so I'm just so excited to see you focusing on this and working with your clients. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So when we start to wrap up here, I want to ask, if there's anything specific that you think people should know in trying to make this transition that maybe we haven't addressed already, and what kind of encouragement you have for them too.
Yeah. So if someone is already a person that has chronic illnesses like diabetes or high blood pressure and on a medication, the best thing you can do is let your doctor know that you're making this transition. And sometimes you can educate the doctor on what you actually found out. Because once you actually start to make that transition, and if you go, full in, your blood sugars and blood pressure can drop quickly. Mm-hmm. And you definitely want to talk with them about adjusting your medication. So I always give that caveat that people need to know that and look out for it quickly, because they don't want to, their blood sugar to drop low when they end up, in the hospital because they made those changes, and then they'll have a negative association with eating healthy, right? So we won't always give that caveat. And then just know that there's people here to support you, encouragement. I tell my patients when they come in, I'm like, do not avoid coming in. I'm not going to yell at you. It's just another session to where you can come in. And I'm like, okay, this is where we are. Let's go back out there, do this. I'm here to support you. You can keep going. You can do this. Know that it's going to be a struggle, because every time we have to think about what we need to eat, it's going to be this or this. And then sometimes you're going to pick this Big Mac with no meat or the Oreos, but then you just give yourself some grace and say, okay, this is where I went. That's okay. But the next meal I'm getting back on track, and each meal you can do that, and just give yourself grace and know that we're out here rooting for you, for your health.
I love that. I think, the big thing I always try to teach, I know, especially with toxins, is it can become scary and overwhelming. And the thing I always tell them is this isn't about perfection. It's really about making conscious decisions and mm-hmm. each day trying to think about those decisions. So same, like each mealtime, let's mm-hmm. be conscious and think about those decisions. And, maybe you pick a 90-10 rule where 90% right. of the time you eat really well and 10% you just live life and you enjoy it kind of thing. Figure out what that line is for you based off
exactly.
of your health and working with your physicians, preferably Dr. Amanda.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I did want to ask too, you mentioned, it was a really good point about, addressing your medications as you transition your diet. Are there specific things that we should be aware of or concerned about? You mentioned a couple of them there, but when making these transitions, are there any health concerns that come with that other than the medication changes?
So sometimes people feel worse before they feel better, but the negative effects are usually more like you're trying to rid yourself of that excess stuff that you didn't need. But to actually transition, no, there's not any other negative health effects that usually that I'm aware of that your body would go through.
Yeah. Good to know. Just making sure. I want everyone mm-hmm. to be prepared as they kind of go through this transition. So
yes, yes.
So I have three quick fire questions, but before I get to those, where can people connect with you? How can they find you online?
Oh yeah. So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Dr. Amanda Atkins. And my last name is spelled A-D-K-I-N-S. And then I also have a website, dramandamd.com.
Perfect. I will link to everything in the show notes too. Just make sure
it's
easy as possible. Yeah. So are you ready for the quick fire questions?
I hope so.
All right. So what is your favorite or most impactful book, podcast, or documentary, and why?
I would say Forks Over Knives. Mm-hmm. I did not know about that, and that actually transitioned my mind. I actually was at a vegan soul festival, and a person sitting next to me was like, oh, have you ever seen Forks Over Knives? I was like, I've never seen it in my life. And just the way that they talked about how animal products actually impacted our bodies and what the animals go through and the environmental effect, I mean, that just opened my eyes, because at that time I was just vegetarian. I wasn't vegan. I wasn't plant-based or anything like that. And that's when I dove deeper into plant-based nutrition from that point on. So
yeah, it's a great documentary. And I think so few people are aware of the environmental effects and the treatment of the animals too. I know it's becoming more kind of popular knowledge about it, especially with all the conversations going on with climate change right now, but it is a huge, huge issue, and
yes,
got to do something now. Right. If we're going to, you know, be able to solve this problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So with that, my next question for you is actually, what is your best toxin-free or eco-friendly living tip?
Of course, eat plant-based.
Yeah. Takes care of both.
Yeah. So like I said, like you said, the things that we do and actually eat, I was surprised how much land space and how much water, things like that, it takes to just make one hamburger. Mm-hmm. That was another vegan soul festival that I went to that they mentioned that. So just actually eating less meat will actually help the environment.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, trying to eat meat as a side dish opposed to the main course. If, you know, if you aren't going to give it up completely, reduce it and then be really aware of where you're getting your meat from and right. what process that meat has gone through too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my last question for you is, what does living consciously mean to you?
So let's see, living consciously, thinking about how what you do is impacting others. Mm-hmm. I'm a very spiritual person, so I believe that what we do, and we're here to actually be a service to others. Mm-hmm. So that's a big reason also for my why of preventing chronic illnesses, because I want to be around and be healthy to do things like I'm doing today and spread the word of health and nutrition. Because if we're sick, tired, and in the hospital, we're not going to be able to live out that purpose.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that so much. I think it's so true. I think, you know, so many of us often feel lost or like we don't know what our purpose is, or, you know, why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? And the base answer is it sometimes doesn't even matter. You just have to serve others, just do right. something to help somebody else. And that ultimately leads you in a direction of enjoyment and joyfulness and mm-hmm. passion and excitement for life.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Amanda, this has been phenomenal. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to connect with you. I'm grateful for all of your knowledge and sharing that with the listeners today. So thank you for coming on the show.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed being here.
Thank you. Hey, Nika here. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I truly hope you found value and inspiration. If you have, I'd be incredibly grateful if you took a moment to subscribe to the podcast, share it with a friend who you think might benefit from our discussion, and of course, leave a review. Your feedback not only helps me grow the show and design it to help you grow as much as possible, but it also helps others find our show in the sea of podcasts out there. Do you have a burning question or a topic you're dying to hear about? Please check out the show notes where you can record your request. Your question or guest suggestion might just be the highlight of a future episode. There's one more thing I want to share with you before I let you go today. There's a chance to get a free 30-minute coaching session with me, which could be featured on an upcoming episode. It's a fantastic opportunity for personalized advice and growth. And who knows, our conversation could inspire countless others on their journey too. As you guessed it, the link is in the show notes, so please check it out and sign up if you're interested. Once again, thank you so, so much for listening in and joining me today. Don't forget to act on the things that you've learned today so you can become the person who has the life, the career, and the success of your dreams. I'm wishing you a happy, healthy hustle, my friend, and I'll see you in the next episode.